Good morning. It is 6:19 on the ticket. The Musers from the Moscone Convention Center in downtown San Francisco. We're on Radio Row, which is still a big deal. This is a very large room with a lot of radio stations and morning shows from around the country that will be here throughout the week, and midday and afternoon shows as well. Right now, as always, on a Monday morning of Super Bowl week, it's us and it looks like about three other shows. It's a pretty empty room right now.
I guess some people just come out for half the week, huh?
Maybe.
Yeah.
By Friday morning, there'll be a lot of people here, but Monday morning, it's us and a select few. And we're here all week with the entire ticket team for Super Bowl 60. Coming up at 6:40, a very special preview of the big game with Norm and the Goose. Stay tuned for that. But first, the observation deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care and Generator Supercenter.
Well, yesterday I did something that I've never done before. First time in my life, I actually upgraded to first class. Well, I can't even identify with myself anymore. I mean, it's impossible to identify with myself.
You've never flown first class in your life?
I have when some P1s bumped us up a couple times, I think that's happened. But this was the first time when I was checking out, because I was on a different flight with you guys originally, and y'all said, dude, you can't do that. We got to, you know, credential, office closes. We got to get there at a certain time. And so I had to switch to y'all's flight. And the whole reason I had a different flight was because I booked it at a time where our flight was double the price. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I can't pay that much. So I had a later flight, and then when you told me I needed to change back, I go to our flight, and I switched it back, no extra cost, even though I paid for much cheaper flight, and even had a 15-cent credit.
Okay.
Not bad.
And then when I was checking in on the flight, it said, for an additional $100, would you like to go to first class? I thought, yeah, $100? I'm going to do this.
For a four-hour flight? Sure.
Yeah, because I had a middle seat also. It was all the seats were gone, so I had to get a middle seat. So I was like, I might as well just splurge, right? Mm-hmm. And since yesterday is my birthday, I figured it was my birthday gift to myself.
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So so I did that, and I was excited the whole time going to the airport thinking, oh, I got a great gag I'm going to play on Giorgio. Because George accuses me of being gate lice and always trying to get on the plane as soon as possible.
Which no, you are.
I have witnesses that have seen the same sorry thing. But they make an announcement about it now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's why I was going to frustrate you even further by seeding the conversation early on with, as we're waiting around in the terminal, about complaining about being in group six and having to wait.
Well, and once again, it's checkmate for Jubb, because as we were going into this week, I was scheduled on the early flight, and I was going to switch it to be on y'all's flight, and I went, I'm about to be around that Mother Hubbard for about seven straight days, so I'm just going to go ahead and fly out early so I don't see all the pomp and circumstance and all the bits and everything. I'm just going to have a peaceful flight. And I, too, is in first class on the way to San Francisco. With no Gordo, it was so pleasant. Oh, it was such a nice trip out here.
You knew there would be gate theatrics?
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Gate theatrics. That's what he's known for.
So, yeah, I was going to do the, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try to sneak on. And then you watch me try to sneak on. And then you see me get through, and you go like, God dang. And all frustrated.
Then he sits down at 2E.
And then I was going to be sitting in first class, and then when you walked by me, I was going to say, the seat was open. I'm just going to sit here until they tell me to move. And then you have to see me sit up there the whole flight.
See what I mean? Missed out on it.
Like
didn't have to put up with it.
I know it.
It was great.
I was all happy. This
I won. I won.
That was going to be my Christmas gift to myself, was your reaction to my theatrics.
So I also flew first class.
Oh, and my God.
I can't even relate to myself anymore.
Donnie was sitting ahead of me in first class.
Yeah.
He was extra first class.
Yeah.
By the way, thank you to our sponsor, American Airlines, official airline of the ticket.
That's the reason we're getting first class.
Yeah.
So, George, when they called first class, I get in line, and Gordo's right ahead of me, and I'm like, I can't believe he's going to try to cut this line.
He's not first class anything.
And then he goes up there, and I'm like, oh, they're definitely going to bust him. And he scanned his phone, and they said, welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, Mr. Keith.
I'll be damned. He actually got a first class ticket. But I'm sure you were line cutting.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. And also, when I selected this first class, I just assumed it was, you know, that I had the seat next to me was going to be open because it was open when I looked at the check-in. And there was some flight crew that got to hop on board. You know, he was wearing the outfit, mm-hmm. which they give you. They give, I guess, pilots and stuff free flights, you know, to get somewhere. And
yeah.
So that's what so it was filled up. And he was so put out anytime I had to get up out of my seat. If I had to use the restroom, it was like that was the greatest injustice served to that man in his lifetime on this earth.
He was non-revving.
Oh, gosh.
That's right.
He knows a term, so he's got to use it. Non-revving.
Well, isn't that all of us? If we know a term, we use it?
No. I don't use it.
Oh my gosh.
You didn't know it till now.
I knew it. I knew it a whole bunch.
No, you didn't. I know lots of airline industry terms. I can't help it.
So when we walked down here to get our credential where we could broadcast professionally all week, we saw a lot of life. There was a lot of life that was seen yesterday and this morning before we even started broadcasting from here. We're in a rough section. And as we were walking yesterday, I saw a dude who kind of looked like Kurt Cobain walking towards us. And in one hand, he had an industrial family-sized bag of Reese's Puffs cereal, unopened. And then the other hand, he was carrying a half-gallon jug of milk.
And he had in mind exactly what he was going to do.
He was walking with a purpose to get somewhere.
All he needed was a bowl and a spoon.
Yes, and this is about 4 o'clock in the evening, and he was about to tear through a bag of Reese's Puffs.
Hey, you got the whole evening, and you got Reese's Puffs and a gallon of milk? That sounds like a pretty good night to me.
That was what he was about to eat. And, boy, yeah, we just saw a lot of people that are either not doing well or having the time of their life.
I don't think they're having the time of their life.
No, they're enjoying something that's kicking life up a notch. It was a very awkward moment when this woman walked by us as you and me and Craig and Donnie and Mino, I think. Who else was in our walking party?
And Kat.
Kat. And there was a rather heavier set woman who was coming the opposite direction from us on the stairs. And it reminded me of something that Grego, a former host up here, used to say. And I said it out loud, not thinking. She had just passed us. And I turned to one of you and I said, does she have a fupa range? And she kind of stopped.
That was me you said it to, and I didn't even see this
she
woman.
She walked right by us. And that's what made me think of that. And I, like an idiot, I just blurt the first thought. I wasn't thinking, and I felt so bad about that.
Did you go back and apologize?
No, I did something even better than that. Just beat myself up.
Oh, thought you were going to say something else. So say that's a weird reaction.
Then we had the tense moment when we get into the Media Credential Center, and they're using AI, using facial recognition to, you know, identify who's coming in there because we already had to send in our paperwork to get our credentials and so on. And you walk up to these cameras, and they recognize you in an instant. And I had not even taken off my sunglasses from being outside when I walked up to the facial recognition camera. And from like 6 feet away, all of a sudden the screen lights up. Welcome, Mr. Keith. Good to see you here.
I can't believe that with your sunglasses on.
Sunglasses on, yes. It completely recognized me.
In less than a second, too. You didn't have to wait on anything. It was just like instantaneous.
And in the old days, you know, the AI used to, it would think for about 5 seconds, mm-hmm. and then it would get your ID. After you had to stare at it for a while, and then it'd tell you to please hold still and all that kind of. Not anymore. It's extra fast.
Yeah, I was behind you guys, and I saw how fast it went for you, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to see how fast it'll go for me. I wasn't even in the frame yet Like that, just a microsecond from a distance in the frame, and it popped up, "Welcome, Craig Miller."
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yes. It's so good, except for one area.
Yeah.
And it couldn't recognize Donnie. And
it was so racist.
It was so racist. AI is so racist. Because then Donnie has to go to a special line that is for non-recognized persons, and it was just a big hassle.
It originally sent him to a players-only line.
Yeah.
Thought he was playing in the game.
And then, which is like the... It's half funny, and then it's also half, man, what a beating. Because it also happens to Donnie on these road trips where his food always comes last, too.
Always.
Which is another weird thing.
Donnie had a funny line about the AI. He said, when any black media member walks up, it pops up, "Are you Stephen A. Smith? No. Are you Shaquille O'Neal? No. Are you like the three or four popular black media members?"
It recognizes them all the same.
Yeah.
Misidentifies. And then and then after Donnie goes through the special line for people that are not recognized by the AI, they say, okay, now go to this other line. And the next guy that came up to the AI didn't recognize me line was another black guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether they just need to calibrate their systems. I don't know what's happening.
Hmm.
But that happened. Then walking back to the hotel, Donnie and I walked back together. I'm not sure why we split off. Oh, you guys had to go to a grocery store or something.
Yeah.
So we walked back, and on that main road there are so many street preachers and bands that are playing. There's a lot of street activity.
Market Street, right?
Going at Market Street, yes. And this street preacher, I don't know how he got authorized to bring, like, the world's biggest PA. What he had out there was bigger than Zeppelin had in 69. I mean, it was so loud. And you can just blare, you can bring out, do you have to get a permit, or are these guys just setting up?
I would think you'd have to have a permit, but, I mean, there's so many acts going on around. I don't know how they keep
and
up with it.
You'll have a bass player who's playing with a woman who's playing a trombone. It's like odd musical combinations that are bands. And then all the tourists are lined up to watch the streetcar turn around. That's a big event.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because at the end of the street, you know, the streetcar has to get on its little turntable and spin around where it can go the opposite direction, and people line up and wait for it.
I'd like to see that.
It's going to be here in 15 minutes. Why? It's boring.
No, I'd love to see that. I think that's cool.
It just gets to the end of the line, and it slowly spins around.
But that's such old-fashioned American technology. I want to see that.
It's stupid.
God.
It's stupid.
I think you would love that.
No. I watch it in virtual reality or something.
You drive an 84 Buick. I think you would love that.
I don't drive an 84 Buick.
Pretty close. I saw a clown yesterday with a huge orange wig, and he had a bubble machine going, and he was blowing balloons for kids. And
on the street?
Yeah, and I almost took a picture of him, said it's Gordo in 5 years, but I decided not to.
And then, of course, these scooter deliveries everywhere. That is real creepy to me, because they're all dressed the same in these muted, dark clothes that are either black or olive green, deep olive green. And they're riding these scooters, and they all have these hippo hands, which are up on the handlebars, and it's just, and then you can't see any of their faces, and they just buzz around like hornets. It just looks real, I don't know, sleeper cell to me or something.
It does. Yeah, why are they all dressed like, because they don't represent one entity.
I guess not. But you would think that if they're all independent contractors that just deliver for people, that you would see some variation in the way they look.
Yeah.
But they all look the same. Their scooters all kind of look the same. It has a surveillance quality to it, to me. There's that, and then there's also just the cameras that are on every street corner. You notice them up there on the corner of buildings, the big eye in the sky that's watching everything that goes on. And then you have driverless vehicles that are zipping around the streets, and something's just off. Everything feels a little bit creepy.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like any other place, that's for sure.
No, and then you got the post-apocalyptic thing happening.
Yeah.
Obviously. And what's amazing is that usually for these Super Bowls, they do a lot of stuff with the homeless population to try to get them out of the area where the media is going to be walking around. I don't know. They think it's a publicity thing that they don't want to do that. Like New Orleans famously moved them all off to one section of the city. And so you would imagine that San Francisco has probably done something like that. And this is how many people who are down in their luck that we're still seeing.
Yeah.
And it does.
It's a terrible problem here.
It's a horrible problem. And people just camped out on the street everywhere, and there's trash everywhere. And it's just like, this feels very post-apocalyptic where we are.
It does.
With cars with no drivers, and then the humans who should be driving the cars are having to lay on a sidewalk, sleeping, while a clown is blowing bubbles, and you got a middle-aged grandma on trombone next to a guy with a old lowest line Ibanez 5-string.
Okay.
It's just
so you
weird.
Think we're about done. Is that what you're saying?
You think we're about out?
Yeah.
Yes.
It does kind of feel that way.
It's a strange combination of visions that present themselves to you when you get around this city.
It's a very almost Mad Max Escape from New York type feel.
Yes. It's post-apocalyptic but futuristic at the same time.
Yes. And we're in it all week long.
Mm-hmm.
We're kicking off our coverage of Super Bowl 60 here on the Ticket. That's the ODEC.